I'm going to just start by saying that in many of the submissions, the grade that other firms is very, very high amongst us. So the quality of unemployed people, young people constitute about 70%. And given that we have used an addendum to the original goal by 2013 of housing poverty, this can appear a very important role to play in the case of unemployment rate. So let me just take you through and talk to the issue of skills development. And I want to say that this one is related, in terms of the two things, I'm not the most important thing, but this one, this so happens to be the one that comes up as the most important issue. And a number of people today problem with skills development strategies, and with the effects of the problem that put in place to enhance skills development in this country. Again, a number of them point to specific problems with learning programs and saying that the way in which the learning program is currently running is problematic. The people have had two learning programs, but there's no sense in learning programs. And so that needs to be better. So the way that our learning program operates now is not to stand by the situation. So the fact that you have either the money going into it, but yet a number of the people go to them to go to the and the human condition of that study or impact of this campaign was interested in people who are graduating from the department and all the problems that came to the department. Then what also emerged was that the DLL needs to consistently continue to evaluate the implementation of the national school to identify students in those schools. And we saw at the end of last year when the department came in to get an understanding before people were talking to the students that we had in the fact that the department understood 60% of the national school already. When one looks at the annual report and one reads the situation of self-sacrifice and the situation of poverty. Then the whole issue of people turn up again and these factors are not consistent with the impact on the poverty and the poverty and the inequality that we're facing. Yet the people to develop very specific poverty relative to base are required critical for and skilled students, and the decision making is more higher than the land. In the recommendations here, I think it's specific to the cycle. Talk about teaching families in the community. And for example, what is a picture even initiative can be used to decide the metrics on the part of the most students in the community. It also, and this came up a number of times, the fact that we need to identify the skills required to get two sections to make students and expand production. And one of the things that specifically came out is that even though the South African economy is growing, the growth is not necessarily resulting in growth among people. So
is a growth of technology and advancement with a demand for high speed data, but it's not correlated with the growth and development of automated skills. So there's a mismatch between the jobs that are being created and the skills that we have, and how do we begin to where the skills we are to create a better match between how really we get experience in these sectors and the economy that we're doing for the job market. Then also we can ensure that employees comply with the skills that are being tracked in the skills that are actually coming as well. As government departments and centers and all government organizations and services are working to develop intensive programs and additional skills that are being developed. As we do need to increase the knowledge and services in the same section, we need to increase the knowledge and services in the future and to be able to create a professional package as black people who are in black learning are not adequately involved in the skills. And again,
I would want us to discuss this issue under skills development so that we could come up with a way forward on that, a proposal on each and every item to discuss really at the end of the day. We know that you don't have the report from the department, but because what we could do, we could check what does the department do with the skills development within the report. I don't know if maybe you want to go that way. To say each and every item, we could maybe have some recommendations. Do we actually agree on that, or should we just discuss? I think it would be important to say we've got these public hearings and the idea of different people who present it, what are we saying under this idea. Should we go that way? Do you agree with this? Do you understand me? Do you want me to keep this?
I just think this document happens like the one.
And for that matter, we even shout jobs being created. And yet, you see, young people are not that much employed. So these two do not match. Well, one does not know whether the department study of the policy has got an answer in that.
No,
you are
asked, what seems to be done with Mr. Say? Who could have invited in some of our conversations in order for us to take care of that report, to take you in some of our conversations. Under this item of skill development, there are questions of concern, like the one you are just saying. Everybody will agree
don't have, it doesn't create jobs for the youth. I'm sure that can be taken as something which concerns us. To say, not necessarily or proposal, if they have something to say under that item, there are key issues that we want to be looked at. Department must really give us something to say. What is your view? What is it that I'm doing? Are we from you that has something? What can be done? Because that one is a key issue in the entire report. The issue of your case, the issue of the growth of the country. Yes, the growth we can see that is there. But what about the youth? It doesn't create jobs.
Chairperson, I think that we must take or the people or the teachers. This is the teachers. What teachers really performing, what teachers not really performing, what teachers really creating jobs for the unemployment youth or for the unemployed people in South Africa. I think when he scrutinizes, then he will really check who is really the teachers. Not doing the side of skills to this. The other question I want to ask you is about the National Skills Fund. As I hear that the National Skills Fund will not fall under us in the future, they're going to fall under the news. Does it still discuss it or what?
Wages where the people are not getting sufficient work out of the people for the wages that they are getting. This is just a feeling that I'm getting from people that I'm.
The economic
some correlation between the training and school and the physical teaching. Now there's a discussion and a proposal in study. And what I think should be done is that it takes to be today the department to do a study of where the job goes, where the job is going to be done, and what things are doing. And then look at the use that is managing to convey skills to work in the school. I know that this the committee itself has used some of that in the past to complete the study. So we have to have an understanding that the committee itself is going to use those to look at the The second thing is that our decision is that we met in the last year. We're saying that
maybe the point I'm going to raise will also complement the point that the question of the qualification and skills which must correspond with the needs of the economy. I'm just thinking on my own as to if we have to measure ourselves properly as to how we progress in fast tracking this process. It is not wise for us to have to clarify this particular area. That of having a clear understanding of what the economy, what skills the economy actually needs, in order for us to fast track how we progress in eliminating those stumbling blocks, those blockages. In terms of acquiring the right to choose, that will match the economy. I'm just thinking on that side to say, maybe the proposal would be we need to have a clarity on that, or to have information on that, as to what is it that the economy, or how many skills do we need for the economy, or what skills does the economy need for us to ensure that we are developing the right people for the right skills, in order to make the economy. Then we can move along to the question of the compliance with the skills development strategy by the employer and the other institutions. I think if we can maybe look into those two key areas, all the other areas will then come in. The questions of recognition of prior learning, as indicated here. How do we also ensure that RPL, because RPL is enshrined or captured in the law, but often very quiet about RPL itself. And I think it is one tool that can assist those who have difficulties in moving or being put in bridging programs to achieve the levels that are required by the economy. That's the thinking from me, Chair, that maybe the one that to me looks very critical is the question of what skills do we need for the economy? Do we know what skills do we need? How many skills do we need for the economy? We will then be able to move to the fitters and fast track the fitters as to whether these fitters, because many of them are listed here to be not performing to the required standards. Then look at those fitters, whether we need those fitters, whether we don't need those, whether we manage those people. A typical example is those teachers who are actually doing something that, to me, it's not their objective. We recently had a situation where the transport system, which is involved in investing money and so on, we will then be able to fast track those and say, are these doing or carrying out the work that is given to them? Let me stop the share and move on the sheet to the discussion.
Thank you, Chair. I think Anthony has touched mostly all the issues I wanted to touch. Because the speakers sometimes they are not focusing on the skill needed at the current moment. But if they are doing that, of course they are going to find the people who are not going to the market. And again, the establishment there should be a problem of forcing them. I mean the established company or the establishment. We have the problem of interest paying. Because it's true that sometimes people are paying. At the end of the day, if you want to employ, you look for an experience person. In some other establishments, they are saying that they want a 5-year experience, 10-year experience. So even that, the establishment should refrain from that. Because you'll find that a person qualifies. But the only thing, he hasn't got an experience. So, you see, a person who's got an experience with no experience, there are jobs. In the establishment, there are those people who can train that person while he's new in the job. But it doesn't mean that he cannot perform. The only thing is that an experience, which means that if there's a person who can mentor him, he will quickly grab it up. So I'm saying that the internal training is also the same thing.
It's always been my time whether the training in any department, whether in the labor or whatever it is, are they actually trained as market demand? Are we, is the department relating with the market today, with the industry today? This is our need. And we need people in this category, and we need people in that category. Are the training done as fair market demand in the industry? And if not, then You train people for permanent use to the outside, and they don't know where to actually place them. I think there should be some sort of a research done by the related departments and other organizations that are training people. They, we are training 50 people because this is the demand of the market, and immediately after training, they will be paid.
We need to know. We must not only talk of the economy developing. It is not creating jobs. And we are saying it is creating jobs. What sectors of the economy are creating jobs? Which are those sectors? Because my fear is that the jobs that you say are being created are the jobs in the by public way. Those are not sustainable jobs. We can't speak of the creation of jobs in the public way. People are employed for three months or 6 months. That person cannot say, now I'm working, I must plan my future with my friends. Not going to be employed for 2 months.
That there is growth, but no job, that's a task with 70% near no job situation.
Yeah, I think for those who came late, everybody realized that there is growth, economic growth is there, yeah. But it doesn't create jobs for them. Yeah. It affects the employee and then the
I don't want to say that first, what I want to recommend is to
various departments and the coaching and the school of the university. And I'm not sure that how to fix the week. And the first what you want to recommend is the project and concept that needs to be done within all the many of them get to go with the very clear to the person that they doubt whether all the students are coming. And we want to check the point, especially probably if you're going to be coming to the center, you know, to manage the people. Check whether all the students are coming. So the magazine says that half of the dimension will be small. But you know, they will have to deal with competition. Also, they want to say, we can recommend for how we can impact the issue so we need to assist you in evaluation of the training. One more to recommend here is that when we identify a training provider, we identify those training providers that make provision to accommodate training. Because many of the training providers will take a shortcut. So we say that maybe before they must have their big type training provider, they identify those that have made provision for access and the consideration of people to create people that will not be in touch with them and not be out of the children. Then you spell a difference on this particular way to make those who need to be in the
chairperson, there is a program called the community-based organization. Community-based organization assists in making sure that the individual person, or first the young person, or any other person, becomes skilled. Then give them the higher skills that are necessary in life generally. But also, in that you include what you call vocational training, give them a critical person in social to the right space. Some of them we have to reach them. And the reason we say in that chapter says that program is only implemented for instance in the program, only one project, one project on the issue in partnership with the community. And I want to recommend that we can now that the program needs to be implemented for the national because they are so many. We might want to be successful. And that in that program we need to involve the there are questions of the final just generally the community, but also when you study, if you are going to do new something, then you are going to have you are yeah, and we wanted to emphasize on the composition of your recruitment team. When you recruit, you need to have a team that understands each other. Because most of the people can take a shortcut. If they do not understand the complex issues of studying, they then really get to the person because they do not understand. So you say that in each and every team, if you are going to
in order for our current joy and catch to catch up to the issue on both items. I have allowed you to raise issues that are still coming. Issues of struggle to engage a bit of what you got from joy is there and ready to you rightfully mentioned that the committee needs to critically assess the performance of the promoting youth, in particular with a view to enhancing the way in which we continue to eradicate youth and children, and also issues of disability. But I think joining you, we have accepted what the government is saying so that members will add on some of those issues. Can we focus on skill development? We have it, and then from there we deal with the issue of socialization of employment. Is that way, Lawrence?
Thank you very much, Jeff. And I also just apologize for the delay. I'm sorry, I was dancing stuff in the traffic for about 3 miles an hour all morning. I'm trying to get to my apologies, Jeff. It's really getting quite bad up here. Just addressing the skills development chairperson, first once again to thank her once again for putting this report together. It's also very encouraging to find that I'm in agreement by hearing everybody saying this morning. There are just three areas that I'd like to highlight. Firstly, the need has been said to force more closer relationships with the Department of Labor, with the Department of Education, and to come up all over the place. There needs to be a need to focus firstly on what young people need to learning at school and the information system, so when they start to contract or when they go to FED colleges or universities, they're actually learning skills that they can use to fill those skill jobs. So it appears at the moment that that could be not happening a lot of the time. Also, there appears to be a pressure or perhaps a status thing that young people want to go to universities, but they don't go to FED colleges or they don't go to school technical colleges. Those very skills in such short time, you won't get it to university. In many ways, I'm a university graduate, but I don't have skills that I can use in the workplace. Because, you know, you don't go to college, you need to bring that back into the people see going to college, to FET institution, as a perspective. That is more important. If you're a plumber or an electrician or an artist, they are actually paying far more money than an accountant. just being a lawyer, because it's just being a lawyer. And on that subject, too, the need to, and it was mentioned by the director in the series ago, we met, was the need to focus exclusively on the creation of partnerships, not the apprenticeships. Now, this is a terrible situation. We've got, for good reason or good intentions, to keep the system. We've had a whole bunch of qualified artists, but we've got to be back to identify where these artists are needed. Has this job been done? That's something we should ask the responsibility. Has there been some study done? Will they do a study? What artists are doing? Do we need boilermakers? Do we need electricians? Do we need tracking makers? Where we need to run? How are we going to get them into the program? How will we identify the young people? Where will we find them with the right skills to get them in those programs? How long will it take? How will they stay there? Who will pay for it while they're there? All those things, I think, we could ask the Department of Labour to come back quite soon and tell us what they're going to do. Along with the mention that they're going to amend the school system, that they're going to scrap the manpower training act, what are they practically going to do? How long is it going to take? How many articles will be passed? The first of the teachers has been mentioned, bullet point 3 of the bond on page 1. Teachers are not sufficiently impacting on job creation in the way they should be. I think that's quite true. The RSC teachers, I think, are doing very well. They're the CEOs who try their best, they meet their targets, they do all things right, they have money against overall, they spend their money wisely. But at the end of the day, they're actually not producing that many learners. They're just meeting targets to be given to them. And they're not sort of like there are also a large number of teachers who are quite performing. And those types of things, the staff are hearing last week, you can get the same amount of transport teacher, the construction teacher, which is actually falling. Even that teacher, and there are many other teachers, I would ask them to identify between those teachers, and I can certainly help out with all the annual reports in my office. Have a look at them, just call them in here. They don't just have to go to scope unless they come and explain to us. Because the Minister of Labour made it quite clear that he thinks that they're responsible for themselves, they have to be accountable before it comes to him. So they ask if those CEOs and teachers ask them, where's that money gone? The construction teacher has lost over 184 million rand in reserves in 1 year. Just look at their balance sheet. 184 million last year, minus 8 million this year. The forensic report that's been suppressed, I can give you a chapter and verse. Some of my colleagues are there last week. We've heard it all, we've seen it all. Transport sector, as you know, this is money that's been invested. I think we've got a little bit of work there, so we can really address ourselves to. And then just quickly, the last point, just around labour legislation, some points have been made in the skills development about labour legislation. All I want to say on that subject is I think we need to start looking for some scientific reports for the debate. Some people on the labour legislation with young people or any employers. Some of us have said it's too much labour legislation, that's why young people can't get into the labour market. People do other things. I'm not saying I'm right, I'm people wrong or the other way around. What I am saying to you is, you know, I think it's a committee, let's get that debate on the table. Let's get real people to express a scientific decision to look at it. That has to be the key. How do we help young people get into employment? Do we need better, more stronger synthetic labour legislation? Or is the view that too much of that support in the public? Find out and do that. Chairperson, I think those are three areas where the committee perhaps can make a few months with a plan for us to start making some input that I look at, obviously, of course, some reports to the Parliament. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. You mentioned the issues raised by the members. I'm sure that you all agree that the issues that we need to prioritize. I said we will. In our next session, we prioritize the issues that we look for, starting with those youth that are very loose. And the issue of youth programs is like, the rating phase, there should be a monetary system in all the other issues of the youth programs. Because every department is saying the youth programs are there, but we don't know who is monitoring those programs. We don't get a report to say, every department of transport has done this and this for the youth. We know nothing. For all these things. It's like there is no coordinating committee who can give a report on each and every department.
I just want to raise something on the question of the EPWP. We all understand that in the January 8th statement, expression of ECWT is also mentioned, and also in the state of the nation, ECWT is coming up. But the key question for this committee is actually, what is ECWT? We actually know what ECWT is. What is it doing? What impact is ECWT doing with regard to job creation? I'm just concerned about that area because, as Ubabun Charlie has mentioned, we have not actually got to elaborate on the ECWT itself. Because we don't even know whether the ECWT, who implements it, where is it implemented, and is all the departments involved in the ECWT, is it contributing, or is it just a word that is there? That's the concern I'm trying to raise. Because if ECWT is making an impact in the job creation, then we need to measure that as well in order to identify it with one key area that creates jobs in the country. But I don't seem to find us getting deeper into this thing to check whether this thing is being properly, or this area of ECWT is being properly handled. Because I'm trying to find out whether the municipality, at municipal level, ECWT is actually being implemented or taken into cognizance. So which municipality has actually clearly come up with a program and saying this is an ECWT job created by ECWT, whether it is being created through the project, etc. And how is that being done? How does that impact to the community at that level? And in terms of the CETA, to what extent is the CETA working jointly with the ECWT program? Maybe we need to look to see that so that we can find whether this thing is working or not. I know that particular is actually driving the ECWT, but we don't have enough information that gives us light as to what is it that is ECWT is going to do.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mashaba. Madam Chair, I've just been looking at the introduction of the paper and looking at when you were trying to guide us to try and deal with each point. Now, I'm taking from the introduction where it says, in developing this strategy to overcome the challenges facing young people, that on its own, to me, says at the end of this session, or part of the information that should come out of here, should be able to address the issue of how do we deal with the challenges. Challenges that are raised below, of which that is the first one. There is one area that has been brought now and again by the presenter of an impact assessment. I think it is going to be very important for this committee not to shoot in the dark by being able to say, bullet one, can we not agree with that one, that there is a need? Where is it going to be located? Can we locate here if the resources are available? Then we agree with that one. Then we know that the results will give us platform to be able to say, these are the wrong areas and these are the recommendations. That is the first one. But not only to deal with the assessment on the learnership alone, agreeing that the learnership, if there is no monitoring mechanism, the committee can be able to hope that the strategy is there. But the implementation side of it, we all come from constituencies where you've got the number of learnerships that are there, but the quality of information given to those people who are giving those learnerships is also questionable, because it depends on the people within the department where the people are put in. Are they probably some questionnaires that should be sent to all those areas
to see as what are the challenges they are facing that make them not be able to impart information. And also, it can also indicate to us, do those people leave only when they acquire jobs, or they leave when the term ends? How many of them have been able to access jobs? And it will assist us, because we find in certain instances people are given learnerships where they are not even relevantly qualified to be given learnerships at all. But because they always think that it is also a job creation. But when the person goes out into the market, he can't find what he's been groomed for because it is not relevant to the qualifications that he's got.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that was a good contribution, and that's a great thing, the way we want to do it, how we want to integrate in the project.
Yes,
you said
I'm quite agreeable with my colleague here, but this profile, that's where I can tell you. All skills development should be marketed. We get some sort of an information, you know, the committee gets some sort of an information from this training department as to what are their strategies and how they are doing their training. Do they have a program where they say that we are training and we gain so many people because the demand is there, and there is a deficit employment. I think if all of us in our constituency come across people coming with the incentive, you know, after training, they get some sort of incentive from there. They say that the Grand Valley, we got the incentive, but we can't find a job. So we start calling in for them to see where we could take. But unfortunately, it's not easy. So I don't know whether that we could get some sort of an info from these departments that are training our youth or whoever, to say that yes, we are training them in these areas, and we are actually sure of placing them into the employment after training.
I think when meeting with the department, you will have to ask them exactly that question. They are the people who should assist us in using this training, these departments which are doing. But I want to agree with what Mr. Lowe was saying, mentioning the Department of Education. We can all see that the Department is a key department if you are thinking about skills development. It's important for us to have a joint commitment from the company. There's a lot that we don't know when we talk about people. They are the people who know how to be
those people have their skills in companies, they need to take a look so that when those 100 young women teams are managed at a very senior level, and they are sure to get jobs. And I think we need to get more of that information, that other companies can, you know, encourage policies. And I think we have to get that information. I think somebody will talk about the market. Somebody may mention that company.
Thank you.
Working casual workers, paying them by the hour. Now, what does our legislation say? Our labor legislation as to what period can a person take in a casual position? Because it is becoming costly practice by those employers, because they can be paid by hours and don't have you on a permanent basis. I know of people that are working in huge chain stores. I'm waiting for the third year now, and I'm impressed. So I think we need to actually look very deep into the legislation to see what can be set to say 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is, because it will employ the person as they are out there with certain in the position of the employee. There is a lot of discrimination, and I can prove it. I can just mention one company that EPCOT has taken school leavers from November, and are still working on the casual basis because of cheating. So I think we need to actually look and set up some sort of a laws and laws into the legislation as to how we will affect it. What will be the opinion of that? Thank you.
Yes, I wanted to make a comment. I think honorable member here is the touch on the point that I mentioned. I wanted also to make a proposal that this committee, I think it is time that we also contribute something to the draft policy. But this centralization, we cannot keep on lamenting because we've been dealing with it for quite some time. Ready to propose a policy that would fast track centralization. And what I mean is that there might be a need at a point for an employer who need a certain certain period of time. We will take that into consideration. But in order for us to do away with specialization, I think as a proposal, if someone is being employed for a period of 3 months in a position, that means that position becomes permanent position. Or there is no specialization effort. That kind of thing. So I think we need to fast track this thing and do away with it. Otherwise, the chair is going to go in circles on this thing. Because I remember that even consultants, when we had a meeting with them of the studies and the networking, they don't have a resolution from specialization because they keep on referring us to the global model where specialization is taking place and it's not affecting us in terms of scientific institutions. So I'm saying we need to put this to a halt by doing something in regard to putting a policy in place that will govern specialization.
Yes.
Yes. And do away with specialization completely. I think that would do us there because it does not even assist the employer itself. All what it does is it pushes the employer into violating the laws of the country.
And I
think we need to do something with the wonderful.
Regarding the approach of the disabled, and the disabled are really having a bad time with the loss of death. Regarding the employment of the disabled, there is a lot of misnomers among employers regarding what a disabled person is. Now, I was wondering if we couldn't introduce some sort of a tax incentive, because obviously a disabled person needs a larger quota. And there seems to be this thing amongst employers that, oh, it's going to cost me a lot of money. Then it really does. But what does it mean when I prove to employers that to employ a person with a disability does not require an extra amount of money that they seem to think it does.
In order for us to go forward, can we bring a very important issue? Can we finalize those issues, the issue of disability and pension, really round up and close this day? The issue of
just a different dimension to the casualization issue. I think what we should just keep in mind is the question we should continue to ask ourselves the question, is a casual worker unemployed or is he employed? And if we're talking about employment or unemployment, then casualization could be part of the problem, but it could also be part of the solution as well. And we need to find a balance between the two. It's not a black and white thing. There's somewhere in between there might be, it might be part of the solution as well.
Yes, I'm covered on casualization, except that I would say it is good for certain people and bad for others. That in that, in my constituency, that was, I saw a young man working for the India Funded Public Education, and he told me that he earned 300 rand a month. And now, 300 rand a month. That statement told me one thing. We are fast going to an era of exploitation with this casualization. It will just going to bring us to that point of exploitation.
I think that we have to consider the thinking that to try and dodge the issue of compliance. And here we are not talking about seasonal work, we are talking about figures and we can issue maybe
are you coming back to me?
Yes,
oh. No, it's not a follow-up. It's
okay.
A total new issue.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I would want to add that the main demand of the issue, especially the global companies, are notorious systemization. But the truth, they are organizations which are strong. Possibly called and tell us why they have the name. But also so what we have not done is that we have not had an opportunity to go through the television report that the Department of Finance come forward to discuss and support the reporting of the maybe we need to have a deal so that we are better informed about what are the issues that they can do. But obviously, the reason that I was not to engage in is I'm not convinced by the question why the one is helping to, you know, to change for more than 3 years, for some for 10 years. But on the one on discrimination in the workplace, because over and above what has been raised, is that the maybe how we propose in campaigns in that maybe the committee may actually invite transmission from all people in the workplace who are experiencing some form of discrimination. Then you'll be surprised what kind of some of them will be anonymous, some of them will open, so that in our system, as we go and do our monitoring, we've already identified those companies and those things where they appear, and it's very over the barrel. On disability assessment, the issues that are being made, so I am taking a look at them, because some of them are simply some of the issues that they raise here, those codes and those technical guidelines, if you look at them, they are actually aimed at assisting the employer to deal with those things that we're talking about. You know, where you think that it's a self-sufficient company. And when they look at that, they find that it's actually not, because it seems that if the manager of that company becomes zero, he does not have to bend back, say, well, you, I cannot admit it because the boss will be upset and I can't do that. He just says that to you that there is universal access in that country. Everyone says about financial years, everything has not been from the beginning, from the beginning, everything must be accessible. And we don't have to tell them to be accessible.
Yeah.
And
so, thing with the issue of visualization, because they can see the individual thing, and we just make it the interest one. Have an impact. I mean, maybe you will assist us in that day as much, but I would give in that day of high effect. Because on visualization, we need to make something. You never can say what comes here. But what comes here is you should understand that it's a process. But we need to really do it now, by tomorrow, by yesterday. In that day of high effect.
Chair, in the file that I'm having, there were two young people representation that suggested that we need to do something on the issue of prejudice. I thought that as we discussed this our findings in terms of the report, I thought that we'll come up with recommendations. What is it that you're going to do? Because if I take you back to the document that we have last year, the document of 19 May, there were clear issues why we have conducted the public hearing. There were about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 faithfulness that were citing aims of that particular hearing. But to me, it's like, you know, we are just discussing the issue that has been raised now, which is a very important issue. It's an issue that has been raised by young people, representation last year, which these young people amongst them constitute 37.2% of the population of our country. Now, Chair, I have a problem that we must just discuss and not coming up with a conclusion on what it is that we're discussing. The other thing that I want to raise, I don't know what is contained in that document, the document from the Labor Department, because this issue of legislation, it came up that we need to do something with it. And I want to second Comrade Anthony, that seriously we need to do something on some other legislation, particularly the issue around casualization. Indeed, people in ShopRite setup, I don't know, I can mention that if there's any director here or undercover director, they might bear with me. Issues that are happening in ShopRite, it's very shocking, Chair. There are people who are waiting there for 10 years with no medical aid, with no pension fund, with nothing at all. And then from there we say we are neighbor portfolio homies. The same thing that you were listening in the radio chat this morning, that we are biting, we are not biting. Can we begin to bite them? And by beginning to bite, I want to say there were clear recommendations that were made by young people. Can we begin to implement some of those recommendations? We should just talk here, and after that we go. The department came again. We talked, because I remember that the department was in when we discussed this matter. We talked, and then we said we will sit as a committee and make recommendations. Can I begin to make one recommendation that we need seriously to come up with legislation, as Comrade Anthony said, on recommendations on the issue of visualization. There is also an issue, Chair, an issue around over to the efficiency of current labor market interventions.
Can I come in
No, I mean 2.9. Labor legislation.
If you
are not there,
I said I spoke of a boy at 2.8.
Okay.
You are still coming in on labor now. And you mentioned that it's talking about labor legislation, it's not only about employment increases, it involves people's preservation.
Yeah.
So we are still coming on that. And we are not just discussing, we are coming up with proposals yet. Because when we started, we said this is a process. But at the end of the day, you want to come up with a proposal and to monitor and to implement. The issue of implementation has been raised. So we raised five important issues that we actually want to follow up with.
Madam Chair, I think there are two things that I want to raise. The first one is the fact that whilst as government we need to stamp out the issue of misuse of human beings, I think we need to start from within ourselves. You know, I've just been listening and I can see that the issue of casualization and outsourcing is also very large within the government department. The issue of co-ops, where all non-co-op functions now are outsourced, is where you find people are earning the very same thing that was mentioned here. That now departments are saying, so that we can save on our budget, we'll outsource all these jobs. They give them to certain companies. Same companies are not monitored. They just decide as to how they go to handle it. Then there will be co-op. We find that the owner of the co-op has got to work within a certain amount and he can't pay more than that. There are no guidelines as to how these things are going to be done. And I've got a feel that somehow we need to start from coming up and saying, see, what's happening, what was meant when we agreeing that outsourcing can take this because it's a non-co-op function. Wasn't it allowing that we concentrate on the core functions where we are better having expertise as the different departments. That is the first one. The other one is on the issue of discrimination in the workplace, also including the casualization of employment, is the work of the Department of Labor itself. Well, you find some of these things, when you talk about the discrimination, some of these things are reported, even some of them to police, that are headed problems, but there's no response. I had one case that I was dealing with yesterday, where staff have been, all along they've been assaulted, and now, because it was raised, the owner of the shop has stopped assaulting them. Now said, no, I'm going to deduct money. And you'll find that most of the time they go to the department, they report, and the Department of Labor inspectors are not working. And they work in cahoots with the employer. And even if they're going to report to the police, and they will say, no, you don't have anything to do with such a matter. Police cannot act on such matters. I think maybe they need to be increased. And also some sort of publicity needs to take place in all the workplaces. I don't know what that can be done, but people who are on employment need to know their rights. They need to be reminded of their rights, and should be done within the constituency.
Charity, you are starting from the wrong premise if we speak of cost, because there are no costs in terms of it. Otherwise, we will do what Slovo used to say, starting from the sublime to ridiculous. What happened is that the municipal instances, I don't know, they take a big sum of money and give it to Mr. A and say, Mr. A, start a corporation. And Mr. A will employ a group of people and pay them peanuts. And that is called corporation. So they're not corporation. They are hiding the fact that they are outsourcing that particular job as in Fado or anyone. I think first of all, if we are organizing cooperatives, cooperatives must be cooperatives for those group of people. But they must not outsource. Because this outsourcing goes together with this exploitation we are talking about. Right. And coming to this, what has become our favorite cry, this casualization. It's not only these supermarkets that sell them. The banks also use them. I've got a daughter. She has got a degree in international marketing from Vita. She's employed by Standard Bank through this agency. Broker. So the degree in international marketing. I tried to discuss for a long time. Finally, I said, look, I'm not going to listen to you saying I must not pay this job. And then if you don't have anything to offer me, please be better than me. I thought she was right. I didn't like it, but I thought she was right. There can be no half measures on this thing of casual racism. I think we need to make a strong recommendation that there must be a legislation outlawing it and finish. So otherwise we'll be coming year in and year and year out discussing this casual racism.
Yes.
We must make a
the department said there is no policy. There is nothing that can be done on this issue. That's where we should now.
There must be a policy now.
We want a policy. We want to have a legislation on there. Because really, employers will always have this program.
This is a very funny unknown. Let us get serious. Why are we on this? This committee now, what is the way forward in the face of this situation? And then we can start going to discuss other matters. Thank you.
What are we doing?
Well,
the issue of
be if you run a campaign on casualization, what would be done? Aware of casualization, or to say be wary of 1, 2, 3?
Remember there was a proposal that we should also need to call the department on the very thing to also come and clarify
that
before we
should
maybe go to the
base. No, I just wanted to say testing first, policy first,
then the campaign, popularize the particular policy.
Policy
first.
As long as we are identified on this, by this party, we can also whatever case to think how do
you think. Okay, I just want to add to say, given the input made from all members, I think the starting point will begin by going back to the visualization report that was compiled by the Department of Health and scrutinize that report. After going through that report, I think that report will then give us guidance as to where do we start in terms of. But it is as a committee, I think in terms of the constitution, we also have
that right to institute or to initiate a policy that would lead to an act of parliament. Then we can take it from there as a committee and initiate that process from that point.
Can you then go in the
No, we're not done. I do understand that the campaign and a colleague. A campaign by who? We can't initiate any campaign in the parliament. A campaign and then was started by mass organizations outside, not by us here. Like parachuting that campaign to the masses down there. It should not be effective. That campaign must start from below. Yeah, well, we can do that. We can push things with the organization that will do that tomorrow morning. I don't understand the policy. What policy do we do? Because I think concretely we need a legislation against the casualties. We have been talking about it. If you speak of a policy and other things, we are still talking about we are still making statements that are not going to be really fruitful. We have to continue with this expectation. Because the whole thing about casualization, it's not an accident of his specialization. It's well aimed to extract as much cheap labor as possible can from the African people. And they're doing it. And for how long?
Just a quick follow-up. Being very fresh from the course of process and things. It is a policy, and that policy, you develop a legislation out of that policy. And from that legislation, you've got an act that will be sent by president. Very clear.
Also important for us. Are we saying how this process also unfolds? That is very important. That if there's going to be a task team, then we start organizing and doing something about it and report back to the broader committee rather than just saying that this must be done. By who? By when? And all the process. I think that is very important so that we know that we've gone through this.
Very quick again, Chair. From process and business process. Chair, we have identified a gap as a committee. We give you a mandate that this is a gap as a chairperson. You write to the department to say we have identified this gap, and this gap is legislation in terms of casualization. And then department will take it from there. State law advisors and so on and so on until to the cabinet. The cabinet will then decide it, they will discuss it, and then we'll debate it. We'll come back to us as a part of a debate. We'll be debating it in the house when it is a piece of legislation.
I want to make a proposal to to say that in terms of what we are going to do with regard to decarbonization, maybe it is important that we pass it for now, go back and come up with a clear direction as to how we are going to approach it. Because there are clear guidelines as to in order for you to initiate a legislation where the need starts and come up with that and put it to the committee as a proposal. I think that will help us because we will keep on, you know, every one of us will keep on coming up with this direction and then we're not going to get any. But I think we are talking about you know, guidelines that are in place for members of parliament to follow in order to initiate the legislation. We've got let's utilize them. Because here we have identified a key area that we need to get involved in terms of formulating the legislation.
We don't want to
Thank you.
working on this to try and come up with a very precise. Can we come back to the they don't have a chance in going into the SMEP. We want to talk about counting power in Hong Kong. But we know that we have a problem in our country. There is an outcry from this foreigner to say they are taking over small business. Even cut shops, they are taking over. So for our youth to go into business, because we have to start there, in being smaller, what are the issues? So I want us maybe to do with the goals.
Yes, on that point, two issues were raised by young people. One was the access to the funds. Funds are there, but access to the funds is broken. I would have wanted us to find a way of checking whether it is because of the two types, the requirements for you to access the funds. And if there are two types, the funding becomes a bit maybe more. Left time, whatever the reason is, as I think we need information. The second point seems to be the lack of information. You know, not all young people know what if I need this kind of a business. There's a lot of funding. The finance minister, family, I think, 2 years ago, it's no more about that there is no money. It's just that how do people get educated to be able to access those funds. So money is sitting there, gets rolled over by the Department of Trade and Industry through all those coolers and other things because we do not have the right expertise to be able to access those funds. So I think that is an area where you need some study. What is it that is blocking young people from there besides your credit but I think it really needs a recommendation that how do we run a 50 young people? If the blockage is about too strict, the criteria or the requirements, we need to actually look at that as well. Secondly, is that are we getting information? Is information reaching the people at all the places? Maybe we need to work more on that. I'm not sure maybe my colleague will help us how we can spread that information.
Yeah, I think the issue raised by Joy here on 2.4 is that there is a great need for education, education amongst young people for self-employment. Now the issue of there is also a need to increase the access of young people to finance for setting up SMEs. That's what we are raising. But I have a problem. When we
how can we achieve this when our people are still sitting with this problem of not being able to handle their own business? Small businesses are not succeeding. They are not succeeding again because of funds, because of lack of administration knowledge. That's why some people are taking over. They are shocked in small businesses.
Always thinking about this youth and unemployment and youth being unable to access funds. Why is the youth having problems in accessing funds? Some of these organizations are run by youth, like Msobongo, like and all such organizations, the commissions and what
not. Lack of
information. They are owned by the youth. And the same youth that come to us and say, we don't have funds. Why are they not giving information to the youth of that? Mm-hmm. If you remember when we were in Ilundi, youth were saying they don't know anything about that day, But when someone who comes back here and say, we want their
bigger budget.
But the youth outside, they don't know anything about them. What do they do this morning? They say, and they make us be talking about this, about the budget, year in and year out, when they are not anywhere near the youth. There is also this, the SMME, and access. To fund also. It's difficult to access funds for 5 years. I think the problem is inside where they must get these funds. Those people inside where they must get these funds. They have got their own priorities. Who must get this one and who must not get it? People are made to submit business plans. And if you submit a business plan, they take the business plan ready. If it's a good business plan, they sell it to me and tell you that it's not. And every night tells you, Joe will just be waiting for his for the reply for the next 2 years. And they sell that plan to me, and then I test fund. There is a big corruption there, where this fund is. Big one. I know there are these cooperatives that were being paid in KZN. I'm sure it can sustain these other places. So when I went back, I asked the young lady who was training there. She said, I was asking, where are these people training? She said, well, I don't know where are they, but they finished training. And they started, I don't know. I met some of them. They said, no, we are training to get funds. Have you made applications? Yes, we made applications long ago, but there is no reply. No reply? Yes, no reply. That's why I'm saying the problem is inside there, where you find that as supposed to be the situation. Unless I don't know who is responsible for that. Is it economically, but for finance, I don't know, but somebody is responsible. Even for that department. But again,
is a question of credit bureau for credit bureau. These credit bureaus are also in cooperative business. Because people can't get kind of just funds that they're supposed to as just funds in all such things. I think it should be one of our tasks to fight against these threats to the people. Because many of our people are locked into these threats. Some don't even know that they're in credit bureaus. Who cocaine then you are left at Edgar with them. 10 rent. If you don't even know that you're owing at that 10 rent, the next time you're in credit, well, like I said, you need a lot of money to get out of that place. I think it's all the error we need to open here. Jobs we need to open if we must make you get jobs. The SMMEs themselves must tell us exactly where does their money go to. Because you have not known about them. They don't think about them. Very little about them. But they will be coming here to ask for money. Where do they take that money from? There are things.
And what criteria do they use
in distributing that money? Because it's used to be also to be crazy about them. But they are not crazy about their constituency, which is the youth. But we are dealing with this big bulk of Mr. Bobo, another youth of the city, and listen to them crying that the departments are not servicing them properly and so on and so forth. But they are not servicing their constituents.
That is why I indicated that in the youth were saying there are so many problems with the youth commission in Mr. Bobo, and they are not servicing. Why can't we do away with that and have a youth ministry? Others were saying, let's really try and this would be improved instead of saying we will do away with them. But what are they doing? Programs are there, but they are not functioning well.
I mean, trying to support those who speak of a youth ministry.
Yeah,
and being supportive of
but the issue of loans or being on credit, everyone can wonder how it comes that they used to be involved. We should remember that they are getting this because of loans, getting loans for interest, for the university, and then it's just these youth are being blacklisted. So it does involve them for the issue of credit.
Thank you, Chair. We've probably covered by regarding the Otobumba fund that is not really well known in the rural areas, which is quite astounding. I remember that we did confront the CEO of Otobumba who told us that he had two or three flagships which we were supposed to have seen somewhere in the tank. I don't think that's quite an issue. I think that Otobumba should be down to the people in the rural areas. Regarding people not having or getting themselves in debt, I think a lot of this is ignorance. And I do have a problem with our education, because they are concentrating on things like computers or
stands or something like that. Not a last year. Not an explaining to people that they have, if they don't borrow money, they're contagious. I mean, a lot of them think they borrow money and they don't have statements. And I think this is also where SEC colleges, because they are doing saving and electronic engineering and overloading with all sorts of various subjects. Whereas there's not this fundamental idea of how we are to run our finance. So I think this is something that we should possibly bring up, is that training and the, how they should be running their lives. Thank you.
Those are the issues that can be picked up for the people. Yeah, so personally, you know, one reads this portion here, you know, actually suicidal, I think. You know, it has discouraged the young people so much that because of this credit bureau now they cannot find a job. There are certain sectors companies that will not enjoy this. I think that person, whether we could find a way to get to this credit bureau, we have to do something. We cannot. I mean, what was your policy? What was your explanation in actually assisting? And I think you should know that your money will be only paid back and they find it right. And all of this money on a good, for a good purpose, for their training, for their education, studies, and so on. Now you go and put them in a blacklist, and these people are standing there, it's suicidal, I can tell you. They cannot find a job because of this backup. So I think we should concentrate on this year. What should we do with the
Madam Chair, I think out of the discussion, a few things are coming up into my mind. That one, the problem on the Isobovo and the other funding agencies that are available are coming from the fact that you cannot provide services in a central position. Isobovo is nationally centralized. Even if you could have your youth commission even in the province, but the mayor has very limited issues to do with the disbursement of funds and looking at the application and so on. I think it's high time that you see, if we've got the district that we've got, they could be used as some of the pillars that could assist in getting these things to happen. For instance, the issue of my business plan being so good when it gets to national, it just goes missing. It will never go missing within your district because you'll take it in person and give it to somebody. You've got your youth desk now in all municipalities, which is compulsory. You've got your local economic development desk and the managers appointed there. Those could be the people that we are now in a position that we can decentralize to district level within the local government. And it will assist because it will be easy to even decentralize funds pro rata. For instance, if you look at your division of revenue or everything that you're doing, you can be able to say, if I've given district A R1 million, I'll have to get the cost. And we're saying that the youth structure nationally can still be involved to be able to get the cost scrutinized before approval. And I don't see the reason why we could be able to have, we can still go on. It might have, on the start, it might have been good to have your reserve nationally, but now it's time that things should be happening on the ground. And it's making it even difficult. By the time the application is received wherever, it might have even changed the handwriting. I know that might not be belonging here. It's not belonging to this forum alone, but somehow some motivation needs to be done.
It needs to be directed in the blue track for that one of the directions we
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to say that the credit bureau team, the credit team, we've done a lot of talking about that, and I think many of the frustrations that's been voiced here has to a great extent already been dealt with in this National Credit Act that was passed last year. And only when the full effect of the National Credit Act has started to play through, we we were able to assess what is still necessary from the labor point of view. Personally, I think although many of the frustrations that we voiced are very legitimate, I believe many of those things would fade away as the full effect of this act was coming to be. From a labor point of view, the point of action could merely be rather information and also what Honourable Weber has said about educating people regarding credit and respect for credit. The point that I wanted to make is that to a very large extent we shouldn't debate an issue which is to a great extent already been dealt with.
I wonder if the Criminal Investigation found out whether the Youth Commission and Dr. Bumba are not just implicating each other. And you've got a few people who are getting out of salary and in two different things, and they're just talking against each other. Can't you just have it one organization?
There has been a discussion around that. When the informant was saying we are dealing with issues that we just changed to fund and others that we use policy and so forth. So indeed we need to look at more especially when there has been an issue raised by a debate between the different things. No, these people are not credible, are not acceptable. We must do away with them. Others were saying, no, let's strengthen, let us just try to strengthen these. Do you want to close it or is there anything you can
find? Yeah. Chair, the issue that I want to raise in 2.4, the pointing of Chairperson and the Chairperson, well, I've been covered by comrades on the issue of taking the responsibility of the UMSOBO at the district at local level. But the issue, Chair, again, is an issue that of 10% that UMSOBO wants. UMSOBO would want 10% from people if you want to open a Nando's is about 1.5 million. They will want you to give 10% of 1.5 million, which is 150,000. And you'll find that particular person, as a consequence of being blacklisted, being a student but having this knowledge, that person can't access money because already is blacklisted. Two, that person does not have a way of going to get any increment. Even if there is a say that we need to assist them to respond. But Chair, one thing that I think maybe the resolution or we should recommend that there should be a waiver for that particular 10% on the basis that that particular person has money or not. And for those who've got money, 10% can then imply to those who've got money for. But for a rural a person who doesn't have money, who can blacklisted, but having skills checked, that particular person, some of them they've got master's, they've got honors in BCom, they've got skills of opening business, but the problem is that issue. Chair, 2.8 on the issue of these young people who are blacklisted. Who can't be able to work in a financial sector. I think as a portfolio committee, we need to make recommendations. And therefore, the recommendation is that having been that particular person, having been registered on the basis of cooling, not being able to pay school, those people must be given a preferential, or they should be given an exemption. They should be exempted from that on the basis that they have been registered to strategy. Those are the recommendations of the
question about the Utubu and the National Youth Commission and the philosophy and the culture. I think there is a debate between the philosophy and the debate. I'm not sure whether you want to take some role of listening to that debate and at some point make some intervention. I don't know. But there is a debate that we want to amongst ourselves.
Yes, I think we're talking about the
I can remember somewhere how we are discussing about this foreign education over our small businesses. But this is thing that we must deliberately discuss. I think maybe we will come up today with a clear maybe plan of a recommendation, but I think from my side, what I observe is that there's a lack of monitoring in our own local municipalities, because they are the authorities where they have also made policies and things that they must maybe take a look in. Because some of those people are just standing in the street, they can't even pass or walking through. So I think the local authority who must play this role, that monitoring role, including with your other sectors within the labor department, who are also maybe the regional office who are nearby by the local municipality. The other thing, the person, I think from... Even some of our people is actually also selling their RDC houses to those people to making small to make investment. So it's also from our side in our country, we must also educate our people in our country, because they are selling this RDC houses to these people. Chairperson, I think the Umtubo, I think from 2004 when I come in Parliament, those organizations were giving reports. I can remember in 2004 where we had the meeting, and they say our disadvantaged community don't know how to set up a business proposal. That was the excuse of them in 2004. I don't know what is the excuse still that they say some of our people are still unsuccessful. So maybe we must say, because it can't every time, I'm still sick and tired about Intubo. Because it's report on the report on the report, but you're not seeing progress. But what did we decide as public representatives here? But we're always getting this report and report and report, but we're not taking a decision. Or maybe saying, let us say maybe of give a time frame for 9 years, we're going to monitor Intubo and checking Intubo. I think 2 years back, they were saying that it's now 2007. What is our way forward? Really, when you come into your constituency, people, they're getting an answer from them. They said you are successful, but they never came back and say, even implement on this one, you think you are successful on your application. I really, for me personally, as a person who presents, maybe some of people, my constituency of South Africa, I'm thinking about them from the world, really.
Maybe I don't know whether this proposal is going to be successful, but Congress speaks of telling me whether it is. The issue around the foreigners taking business in South Africa, one is that there is a low level of maturity in terms of our people, how to deal with business. But having said that, I battle to think that this is correct. Because if you pass in township, you'll see that people in the corner of township, they are selling Mautona, the Kukuchi, and kind of that. Yeah, they are selling the legs. You see the chicken legs. So there's a high spirit of entrepreneurship. Some of them, they are washing cars. Some of them, they are in their corners there with a box of bananas. But I 3 weeks back, I was in Plaza, in Crown Plaza, in Johannesburg. I can tell you now, Chair, that about 98% of these people, I suspect they are illegal. Because you know what was happening there? The police was patrolling there in Plaza, Crown Plaza. Heavy police were patrolling there. And you could see some of them, they were running out. I'm talking about now the Somalians, the Pakistanians, the Zimbabweans, all these people. The Nigerians, they were running out of Plaza. And police were arresting them. They were full in fighting because they don't have papers. Now, this thing is a question of labor, portfolio committee, Home Affairs and the police for Sundro Community. The police or what is public safety Victoria. So these committees, if they can meet, maybe we'll get something out of that. If you go around here in Cape Town, around here in petrol station, starting from at the top there where in Camp Bay, coming around like this. Well, I don't know other members. Other members they just know Acacia Park and the Parliament Parliament. But if you go around there, you'll see that this thing is happening. Everybody here who are working in a garage. It's a legal hassle. And if you can check, these people are not registered. And our people in South Africa, they need work. Now, I think what needs to happen is that these three departments, portfolio communities, we need to come together with an action plan. Because our communities out there, they are getting angry. They are saying that government is not working. And in rural areas, these people, most of them Pakistanians and the Somalians, when they get in there, the things that they are doing now, they are sleeping with young children. You know, the things that they are doing is really natural, and it's bad for our country. Now, what we need to do, there are laws in South Africa. And some of us in our constituency, we need to see whether these laws are being implemented. Really, what is happening is very bad. Thank God, in Kempton there was another guy of Overland. He has a big supermarket. So this guy was supplying all these Pakistanian Somalians with stock, free of charge. Some of them, after they have taken stock, the whole of Northwest, that man is Overland. He's supplying the whole Northwest with stock, full of charge. After some of them, they have sold their stock, they don't pay him. And I suspect that his building has burned down, the whole building. And I suspect the reason why the building has been burned down is because the man is trying to dodge tax. That is my own suspicion. The man is trying to dodge tax because he's doing things that are not normal. You can't give people stock. The people that have been having puzzles for years, they have never stopped, they never got stock out of credit. But these people from Daum from Klerksdorp is about 286 kilometers to Klerksdorp. But people travel from there to come and get stock from that and sold there.
Daum is my question.
So,
I know that this was a very issue for this member. And
we need to come up with a concrete revolution around the issue.
The
very issue
is about the
regular
issue. I don't know if
you have
to follow up on
that. Yeah, that is what, let us follow up on that. I'm just thinking, how do you establish whether a person is a man or a woman? I'm just trying to think, how do you... Thank you.
my brother Kerala Makunia and just get my participation rental from that meeting. But also, I want to meet it for, you know, the discussion for the unemployment. You know, how much of you are affected by that situation? Because if you need to, you want to have that money, does not just get lost.
The issue of losing our youth is involved in this issue. Because what they are doing is they are even exploiting our youth. Because they employ these people, they are not paying them enough. No one can say any complaints anyway. Some of the children even have children. I know that really it doesn't concern this report that much, but they can affect our children. It's a great child.
Now, I don't know whether it is right. I think it's not effective that the portfolio committee that ourselves could be addressed by a chairperson of another portfolio committee, whether it's going to tell us or not. But the chairperson of the former first portfolio committee can come, he's invited, can come and tell us how massive. Now here we can talk about foreigners who come in and start more business. But there are foreigners who come. I tell you, they are taking over the hotels. So this kind of program by foreigners really is going to make South Africa not our own in a few years. The poor ones and the rich ones. Because South Africa is just a And we were going across many borders checking this thing, and I saw it myself. It's a massive problem in South Africa. I don't know how to do it. And as I say, it looks like Home Affairs. I found it so good. There was legislation which we crafted at that time, which says anyone who is found harboring a foreigner must be fined heavily. I don't know whether that legislation still works or it doesn't work. Never seen one fined heavily because of harboring a foreigner. As you say, even in homeland where I come from, there are foreigners. That is funny businesses. Because even if we say they come and take businesses, jobs for our youth, actually they come and start businesses which our youth have not started. They come and start their own small shops at the corner, and then they start employing our own youth. It's a massive problem that we've got there.
Now, this
point
here, there's no way they can run away from the issue. But let's agree that it's an issue by itself, and we need to start somewhere. I will go relating to relevant portfolio coding for the chairperson. But let's share for a while that I don't mean that we shouldn't talk about it, but at the end of the day, something should be done. Somebody should start. We need to start somewhere. Because it's like all the departments are just lying low. They are the only ones who do it.
They don't have the answer.
Let me see also our campaign. She says, each and every province, we do have municipalities. And within municipalities, we have wards. Everything can help us in each and every ward. How many Somalians or foreigners do we have there? We need to engage our traditional leaders in rural areas, we need to engage our municipalities. Those labor centers, the Department of Home Affairs, the Department of the Safety and Security, also they can tell us. Because I'm saying this, because I've got an experience of us being well called at night, quite called at night to say, we've called the police, they're just breaking their feet, they don't want to come because people are
uprising them.
Then they break into their shops and they are killing these people. Now we need to stop our people killing these people by doing something. Because police are saying we are tired. I was told by a policeman to say, no, we are tired. They must go to get back to their place. Now we need to educate our people because somebody must be responsible to assist us. To say, no, we don't want this. And everything is done.
And as far as the foreigners coming in and the country, the country is become free for foreigners. I'm talking from experience of our market in the chapter in full of foreigners, bringing handbags, bringing tablecloths, bringing you name it, they are taking us. And while our youth, so our uninsured people want to come down. And of course, they buy and sell potatoes. Foreigners are selling potatoes. So, tell us what we need to do is buy hotels. They're working for 10 rand a day. And they make tips. They are poor. We had a meeting in Ilangeni Hotel in Dallas. And who do we think is poor? We slept there overnight. Foreigners. And stewards. Yeah, they sell. So, Jefferson, we need to know what is the control in the border area and what is the home safety in the place of putting a
thank you very much. I appreciate the problem. I'm worried about the unreal music and the stress that is the problem. I'm just concerned that we think we can just close borders and we solve the problem or arrest people. The Chairperson, as we know, the problem is greater than us. South Africa has to be attractive to so many people in Africa because it's not available. We simply can't just close our borders. If we get home affairs to be more vigilant, put more peace in there, the people will come here because there's a likelihood here that they won't get elsewhere. We've got to look at that bigger picture. We've got to make the whole Southern Africa building up the economy of Zimbabwe again so people want to stay there. They come across the drugs because there's nothing left to get into coming down. So the point I'm trying to make is I don't think we can think we can just identify people, put them on trains, send them back. We send thousands of people across the border most of these every single week. But the taxpayers of the country, millions of rand, so people need to come back again. There's nothing for them there. They will risk their lives, they're refusing to come back, they live in the spot as they do. So while I appreciate there's a problem, we've got to have a more holistic approach to how we deal with it. We've got to be looking after South Africans, we've got to look after our neighbours, we've got to build up the economy of Botswana, of Namibia, of Zimbabwe, of Mozambique, of Swaziland, so that everybody should. Otherwise, we just need to throw more and more money and it's not going to go away. Because people will come and live in terrible conditions here, run away from the police every day, do all those things, because despite all that, it's better than where they live.
I think you are right, but the question is, do we have
the
data for these people? Do we know how many people are
coming?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How do we protect
people?
Our own people?
You know, yeah, it's really affecting our economy, but we want to know these people. Each and every word, a word customer must be able to say, I've got so many businesses in my ward run by the foreigners. Mm-hmm. And we're so many, can they call one another? We don't want to leave our children with a problem when we are there, and then our country will be taken over by these people. I'm saying this because of our
approach,
and the second thing is, in contrast to what of the country, people were flocking into that country, and the country was taken over. But at the end of the day, somebody must start somewhere and be saying, how do we monitor these people?
So, a few Talking about talent
been arranging for that age up to 16, and what are they getting? Is it
going to be?
Yes, I would just like to ask you about the relationship. I think I agree with him. I think we all know that there are differences in opinion on the issue of flexibility or flexibility of favorable for women. And the second issue the role or impact of the affirmative action policy from the central government and I would agree with the university that I think the best we can do at this stage is for the committee to commit itself to all the papers. And I don't think we should just leave the accumulation part open. Having a debate or the committee proposing a debate on these in itself is a recommendation that I think we could make to add to the list of issues.
Thank you. Thank you.
Madam
Chair, I think there's one area that we've not touched. This is the one that is talking about youth being included as part of the designated group. I'm trying to look into that as to what normally influence end up designated. More especially, we find that we're coming from the other way of women, the sidelines, or we find that men were the people that were used to be working. Now, with youth, maybe we should be able to get some information that can tell us that are they not employed even if they apply. Because not to have skills does not mean that now we automatically be employed even if we don't have skills because we know. Same thing with the other designated group. But I wanted to get more information as to what was the rationale behind it, so that we can be able to support it if it is necessary.
I'm sure that has
been helped
by this legislation
to
yes, I just wanted to say that in terms of the Irish group. We're saying that the affirmative action affects the white youth because the outcry of the community. So much other thing in that context. So let me just say that it was the University of Texas, University of Texas. So it's just that I think we just said you say it's going to be white youth and very quick. In every case. That was my understanding, so I was checking so that we don't do it.
When writing to them, I'm sure you're hearing them, they always ask them again. they were not done with the department. We promised to try and meet the different departments with concerns what issues raised in the report.
What he's done now is a part of the discussion to come up with a recommendation. And I was hoping that also, I'm a bit concerned about the department. I'm not sure how he wants to take it forward. Whether we still want the department to come and talk to us before we actually start this report. In my own view, one of the things that we suggest to the department is that we need to follow up on the issues that have been raised today until we make that further recommendation. Our engagement with the department must not stop us from finalizing the issue. I'm worried.
What
is
when we have their report, their
concern about we don't need to wait for the department. For now, we have made our recommendations, we just need to formalize them, come and finalize them the next time we meet them. We are dealing with them to now become a final report. The other issues out there will be the partners, which is very tough to complain to the committee. I think it's the only time to complain.
In finalizing that report,
Madam Chair, I was just checking across. I forgot to see that item 3 was more of the summary of the previous report. But I just see that there are few, I think few that is not touched upon that I need to be aware of that. Like in page 7, the issue of child labor. It didn't come out outstanding in the other one, then I think it's one of the important elements. And the other one was about people may have been fooled for criminal records of the youth age. Somebody was charged when he was 14 or 15. And when he's seeking employment, after that, he found that they cannot get that employment. That is on page 8 on the first paragraph on the top. Just those two that maybe they should also be included as part of in bullet form in the other page, so they don't look like that.
This one that Honorable McLean was saying, I think about this youth coming out of prison, they raised a concern last year when I addressed it in the Mamadou prison. They betray some of them, also they attend learnership in the prison and also betray. When they come out, they don't find good. They think they always be discriminated in South Africa. I think as a labor protocol of the committee, I think we must do this message.
Yeah, I know that there has been a debate about that, but they are specifically not recognized. Yeah. So we need to support that. But thank you very much for coming. The report, trying and trying to report, to show that when you
I'm going to take a look at it.